Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I've known for a long time from high school went and posted stuff that was completely erroneous and not factual and said that that's the way that they want to do Facebook, which is just fine because posting what you want on Facebook is the way to do it. Then got upset when I posted stuff on Facebook that I wanted to, which is the way that I wanted to do it, which was to correct them. Sometimes we just want to follow through with the whole adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me on G+, Facebook, Twitter, all over the place under that name. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist. For those of you that have been watching for a while, yes, we have a full contingent all back on camera again. So, as usual, starting out to the west in Canada, good evening, Dallin.
Good evening, folks. After a bit of a hiatus, I'm back, known online as Dallin, born and raised in northern Canada, born to a Lutheran family, but religion was never really... not really drilled into my head when I was younger. I was always encouraged to keep an open mind and always learn. That has served me well in my personal and professional life thus far. And up until recently, I was a very live and let live kind of guy until I saw what, well, religious fundamentalism was starting to do to my friends to the south and was starting to encroach in my own homeland. So then at that point, I decided it was time to take a side, and I chose the side of reason, rationality, and atheism.
Moving to the east into Ontario. Heretic Woman, good evening.
Good evening, folks. So I am, of course, in Ontario, Canada, born and raised here. Started out in the United Church of Canada, which was reasonably liberal for a church. But then I made a lame move and joined a Calvinist sect for a while. I don't recommend it. I've been an atheist now for 26 years. It's the right way to go. And I try to be all over the internet because, you know, that's cool. And people learn stuff. So,
moving to the south of me at this point. Good morning, Joey.
Is it morning already? Howdy, folks. Name's Joe. Was born to a Roman Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. Spent 8 years in the military, and now am living in Pittsburgh as a designer, an atheist, and the wonderful wellspring of political incorrectness for this show.
One of many. Moving to the southeast. Good morning, Unrenown Tech.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Unrenown Tech, UT for short. Was raised in upstate New York by family members had different religious beliefs, so I come from an interesting background. I have both a Jewish and a Catholic upbringing. I practiced Catholicism for a while, studied several of the religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, but not studied as in practice, studied as in like you would study a novel or, you know, encyclopedia or something. And but I noticed a lot of consistencies between them. Things, you know, every single religion's always trying to control you in some way, shape, or form. Don't eat this, don't wear that, do eat this, do wear that. Submit before your husband. And it's like, well, I don't have a husband, so I don't have to worry about that. I see Heretic Woman laughing over there. It's like, uh-huh. And I'm an atheist. I slowly came into being an atheist. The rationalization dawned on me. What's it been, Sujin, now? 3 years?
A long time.
Yeah. And I'm proud to say that I'm neither kosher nor halal because I love sticking pork in my mouth.
Always nice to know that meat is just one of those wonderful things for you. Moving across the pond to what I would otherwise call the old country, into England. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Shujin. I'm Chris, based in northern England. I suppose I've always really been an atheist. I was raised in a nominally Catholic household and went to church for a few years as a child, but yeah, it never really took. I never really got it. I've been more active for the last couple of years, as with Dallin, after seeing some of the lunacy in the world and the unfortunate effect it has on lots of people.
Okay, I thought there was going to be more. And moving south across the tunnel to Joseph. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, me too. I'm a man of few words. I was brought up Anglican. Oh, by the way, my name's Joseph. Yeah, I was brought up Anglican and didn't see much sense in it. And then I started slowly to become atheist until I was around 20, 25. And today I do everything I can to promote critical thinking and thinking in general.
Fair enough. As always, everyone, thank you very much for your time. And those of you that are watching on the stream, of course, thank you very kindly. With any luck, we may actually break double-digit numbers of watchers. There was a little something going on the Facebook groups where I made a suggestion on how we might encourage more people to be with us, which may end up doubling the figures. I don't know. It may have to be very cold for that to have happened, but you guys who are in the know exactly what I'm talking about. Have a good laugh, and thank you very much for the duct tape. You go over there, Chris.
So we are going to be drugging the water supply then?
We just might, but we'll have to see what happens with that. Before I go ahead and get into the 5-minute freestyle, of course, for all of the podcasters who have been taking part in the podcast awards, I, at this point, don't have any idea who won, but I would like to congratulate all of you, and good on you for even getting noticed. We should be so lucky, maybe, who knows, in about another 5 years when we've got enough dirt on everybody to get more people to watch and listen, maybe we'll actually make a run at it. After I can talk back to the old country and get somebody to help me with that, in this case.
I'm still trying to hack a few webcams on my side, so be patient.
Yeah, in this case, I'm referring specifically to Brooklyn being the old country, because for a couple of $100, you'd be surprised how many people you can encourage to come over to your way of thinking. But that may be putting me into an area where I might be prosecuted for, unintentionally admitting to stuff. So before I get myself any much deeper, with, of course, apologies to Noah and Heath from The Scathing Atheist, with 5 minutes on the clock. If you guys were watching the Twitter account for Holy Crap, which is actually Holy Crap TV, or if you were catching over on the Facebook page, and yes, this is kind of shameless self-promotion, which I'm exceedingly bad at, you would have seen that I posted a link to a news story that happened on Monday, came through on my feeds on Monday. It was about an Afghani woman who was complaining about woo salespeople out there, somebody who was peddling charms, saying that they had nice properties and they had whatever it was that was being peddled. And she basically said, come on, really? No, you know full well that that's wrong. You know it's all BS. It can't possibly be. Raising the skeptical flag and basically saying, put up or shut up. What are you talking about? You know full well that this can't possibly be, so, cut it out. And somebody, don't even know who, somebody from around, in the middle of all of this yelling and screaming, as it got more and more heated, made a suggestion that she had burned pages of the Quran. No rhyme or reason. No rhyme or reason whatsoever for anybody even suggesting it. And that was all it took. Mob formed and killed her. For no reason other than somebody suggested that maybe this woman who was asking questions burned a holy book or pages of specifically. Now, this wouldn't be a surprise for me to go ahead and tackle, because this is absolute lunacy. I mean, just on the face of it, this is just insane. Because somebody just suggested, somebody threw out that possibility, and then everybody just said, you know what, vigilantism's a good thing. It's a good day for you to die. Well, she did. And what's the police going to do about it? How many people were involved? Who's going to admit to it? Oh, that's right. Some people just might admit to it, proudly so, and say, what you going to do? This was a religious thing. It was a holy thing. So you have no authority over this. And they could very easily get away with it. There's a, as far as I'm concerned, at this point, a 50-50 on that one. But then Chris went ahead and sent a link over to me about a different news story where a Pakistani mob killed a Christian couple over perceived blasphemy. Was it real? Was the charge real? Were they guilty of? Does it matter? They were killed out in public, in the street. The woman was wrapped up in swaddling effectively so that she would burn quicker. Her legs were broken. Both of their legs, if I remember the story correctly, I just looked it over very quickly and I can't even read it now, were broken. Their legs were broken by the mob so that they couldn't run away. They were killed because somebody suggested maybe they said something wrong. There are news reports that have continued to come in of infants who are born into Jewish families that are battling sexually transmitted diseases. Herpes. Why? Why does this even need to be a thing? Do I need to talk about these items in particular as isolated events? No, because then I'm going to have to bring up Indiana and the idiocy of the religious allowance for people to be bigots and discriminate. I don't need to touch on all of these individually. I don't need to. You don't need me to. All you need to be reminded of is this keeps happening over and over and over again. The worst part about it is, the absolute worst, we know why it happens. And maybe just a minor second to all of that. Maybe not the worst part of it, even from that, but almost as bad. Is that it keeps happening. Doesn't need to. That to me. Is sad. This is episode number 58, and this was suggested by Unrenowned Tech of Censorship. He was already to do this one last week, and I got into a huge mental tizzy, so I completely forgot and skipped over it. And it is a topic that I actually have wanted to talk about. There are a lot of offshoots to this, and Tech and I had talked about a couple of possibilities of stuff that I would like to have been able to get into that probably is not good for us to go down specific rabbit holes. So we are not going to go down any specific rabbit hole for any specific government or governments. We may end up touching on a couple of items that are bad, annoying, lunatic, but if we don't hit your specific, please don't be upset about it. It's because there's a lot of different areas we could go down, and I want to try to hit as much as I possibly can. give an example of what we're not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about Turkey saying that we're going to ban Minecraft because it's too violent, because that's just dumb. That's just dumb as hell. Anybody else heard about that one, by the way, really quickly? Joey, I see you over here. Look at you. You're shaking your head so hard, you've got, like, vapor trails.
Well, it's because I've got myself muted so that I'm not making any background noise while you all were talking. I'm just saying, no, I hadn't heard of that. And I kind of find it rather ridiculous. I mean, what's so violent about it? Well, wait. Chicken cannon.
Chicken cannon? Chicken cannon is way older than Minecraft.
Never mind.
No, in Minecraft, you can build a launcher that launches chickens across the map.
Yeah, I know. You guys need to watch the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Actually, what they're talking about, though, is live chickens in Minecraft. Well, as live as a pixelated piece of poultry can get.
See, yeah. I would have figured they would have banned it because, you know, pigs and ham and...
Oh, and you see, I thought it was, you know, the whole zombies and skeletons thing because, you know, that's... I don't know.
No. You guys have got it all wrong. They're banning it because of dragons. You know, when you start being able to kill things that don't actually exist, that intrudes on their, you know, men in the sky.
No, the reason why they banned it was snowmen.
That makes sense.
All right, with that Smokey and the Bandit reference out of the way, you 70s kids, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to move on now. So, Tech, since you brought it to the table, what area would you like us to start jumping off with first?
Well, just so that the people who are watching or the people who potentially watch this understand what we mean by censorship, I've actually pulled up a pretty well-accepted definition of it. So... Sorry, kids, it's education time. Censorship is the suppression of speech, public communication, or any other information which may be considered objectionable, harmful, sensitive, politically incorrect, or inconvenient as determined by governments, media outlets, authorities, or other groups or institutions. So that includes the general populace. And there are many ways to censor something. For example, when we went to, when America was involved in the Vietnam War, okay, at the end, we didn't win that. We lost in the truest sense of the word. There was basically a peace agreement made. Both sides, nobody admitted that they won. But for all intents and purposes, when you rack up the body count, the amount of money invested and everything else, we lost that. And our history books reflect that. And when I was in high school, and my sister was in her senior year, one of the history books said that we won the Vietnam War. That is a way of censoring something by misinforming the populace. And when a lot of the parents found out, a lot of these same parents who had friends who went to Vietnam or went to Vietnam themselves, there was a public outcry, a small one, but there was one nonetheless, and the books got they didn't get those books again for anybody else for the next upcoming years or anything like that. Here's another form of censorship, this one deemed hazardous to public consumption. If you go and search the internet for the Anarchist Cookbook, usually what you will find now is an actual cookbook, as you would expect for making food, okay? And with different recipes, things like that, all that fun stuff. The original Anarchist Cookbook was a manual. Actually, it was more of an encyclopedia than anything, of ways to weaponize information. How to turn your microwave into a Herf gun, how to make thermite, how to use social engineering techniques, all sorts of stuff. Some of it that our government employs, some of it that other governments employ, some things that were stumbled upon throughout history. And it was deemed hazardous for the public because there's so much information in there that most, and most of it's designed to create harm or anarchy or whatever the case might be, that many governments try to censor it every year, including our own. So it's, it gets a little bit harder to try to find when the new edition comes out to get it, but there are means to get it because you can't suppress everything. But that's just another example. And I have read one of the versions of the Anarchist Cookbook, the original setup, from front to back. And I agree that there's just a lot of harmful information in there, and I know it. But I would never use it because I would never want somebody using that information to harm me. The golden rule. However, there are plenty of people out there that wouldn't. So I kind of understand why. And if you want another example of a government censorship, think of the Nazis back during World War II. They burned books. Did they burn them all? No. They burned the ones that they felt led in any way, shape, or form away from their agenda, from the Nazi party. Not all Germans, because not all Germans are Nazis. That's a stereotype. It's horrible. It's outrageous. It should never be said out loud. Okay, but books that swayed away from Nazism, anything that encouraged art in another form from other cultures was burned or stolen and locked away. That's another form of censorship. So as we can see, it takes many, many different forms. And you're actually exposed to censorship every day when you turn on your television. Public channels have much more censorship going on in terms of the words that they can use and how they use them than channels you pay money for, because those channels have lesser rules. So censorship's all around us. You know, it's inevitable. Things that we deem that we don't like most people, the majority of people here in the United States of America, find child pornography absolutely horrendous. So it's censored, and there's laws against it.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna pop you right there, because that's then starting to get into a different area than censorship per se. So I was trying to show
the different examples, the different types that it can take on.
No, I got you.
Reason behind them.
Yes, I got you. But at this point, that's crossing over into a different legality that I want to stay where we are with the censorship piece itself, as opposed to the legality, because that flip flops back and forth on a lot of different pieces. So we got a lot of different pieces that we're going to end up coloring over in this coloring book that we've got over here. But I want to hit this one that Tucker had given us, by the way. And Tucker, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker is asking.
Tucker is the original Trailer Park Atheist, by the way. Hi, Tucker.
So Tucker's question on the Q&A, and by the way, if you're watching live, please, by all means, take advantage. If you are taking advantage of the Q&A, by the way, please don't be upset if I go through and occasionally weed out stuff that is not questions and answers. If it's social stuff going back and forth between you guys, I got no problem with that. But eventually, I do need to trim it out so that we've got something a little bit better. I'll go as easy as I can on that so that messages get read, at least back and forth. So Tucker's question on this is, has anyone seen the documentary This Film Is Not Yet Rated? It details the crazy stuff that the MPAA uses to rate movies. Yes, I'm intentionally doing a little minor edit. I'm sorry. Well, it's just a personal tick right now. I will say, first off, I have not seen that, and it's been a long time since I've heard about it. So let me go ahead and throw it open to you guys. Let me do the North American contingent first, because I know full well in outside of the U.S., there's a big difference. So, Joe, have you nothing? You don't remember that guy at all?
Well, sadly, no. I just haven't seen that film. So,
okay, Tech, I don't know if you know anything about this guy.
I've heard the title, and I heard that it went well with the Independent Film Festival, or Sundance, whatever they call it, Sundance Film Festival, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big hit over there, but as far as like the MPAA is concerned, it's like an NC-17 movie because it has sexually explicit content in there, but it's not just about sexually explicit content. You know, it talks about people and their educational levels, their disparity between ages and thoughts about what's socially acceptable and what's not, and how the MPAA goes about their ratings, statements that they've publicly given, and that's about the extent of my knowledge of it. I actually have not had a chance to sit down and watch it from start to finish.
Okay, fair enough.
Now that Tucker has brought it to our attention, this is definitely this made my top 10. This has now been added to my top 10 of I need to sit down and watch this damn thing.
Great. All right, Heretic Woman, I'm bringing it up over your way and flipping around afterwards. Are you at all familiar with this guy? And I know full well that the MPAA, if I remember right, is a U.S.-based only. It doesn't exactly have the same sway for
That's
you guys.
Right. Yeah, I have heard of the movie. I've not seen it. But, yeah, we have the Canadian... Oh, Dallin, what the hell is it? Canadian Broadcasting Board or something?
Yeah, I'm blanking on the actual name of it.
CRTC, Canadian something. Yeah, it's CRTC.
Oh, wait a minute. The Canadian Radio and Television or Telecommunications Commission or something
yes.
like that?
Yes, yes. I think it was television, but they may have changed it to telecommunication, but CRTC. Yeah. So, yeah, I've heard horror stories about some of the things that the MPAA does, and that some of their rulings are kind of nonsensical at times, but we're pretty okay up here, I think. And I think as far as movies go, though, they probably take lead from the MPAA. I can't recall ever hearing of us kind of saying, oh, we don't like that movie or you don't like that movie. The Life of Brian might fall under that. If memory serves, I'd have to look it up because I know there was a big kerfuffle about that in North America and in other parts of the world. And I'm trying to remember if we were, I think we were more accommodating about it than you guys were, but I could be wrong because I was very small then.
I can't help but wonder if the reason that the U.S. had their, if you'll pardon the pun, their knickers in a twist, was it because of the, and I'm going to spoil this, was it because of the couple of full frontal shots or the actual content of said movie? What the movie was actually about.
Which movie are you talking about, by the way?
The Life of Brian.
Oh.
There's some genitals in there of both varieties.
Yeah.
I have to say that she didn't look that bad. I don't see why they were having such a tizzy over it.
No, I think, like I said, Tech, I think the tizzy may have come more from what the exactly they were lampooning.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that Jesus wasn't, you know, left the poor Samaritan and buggered off and kind of went, woohoo, and was never seen again, that kind of thing.
By the way, I found a quick, a short version about it. So it appears that my original statement, maybe I was getting it confused with something else, because according to this... the film discusses disparities the filmmaker sees in ratings and the feedback between Hollywood and independent films, between homosexual and heterosexual sexual situations, between male and female sexual depictions, and between violence and sexual content.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. All right. So, Joey, what are you sniggering at?
Well, two things. One, I can't help but find it funny that the very first film that we discuss on the subject of censorship, after the documentary, is The Life of Brian, considering, you know, it has a rather solid segment in itself about censorship. No one throws another rock until I blow this whistle. Even if, and I want to make this absolutely clear, even if they do say Jehovah.
Say Jehovah.
All right.
Tucker's just saying that the MPAA does have religious leaders on the board.
Yes,
I believe Gomer Pyle said it best. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
And the second thing I wanted to touch on real quick is how sad I am that this is not a Power of 10 show, because on the subject of censorship, we are censored, and I cannot channel the one man who has defined censorship for me more than anyone.
That would be Pope Carlin.
George Carlin.
Two more shows, Joey. Just two more shows. Two more weeks.
Yep. All right. So over...
By the way, I would call him Rabbi Carlin for the simple reason that he has a habit of cutting idiots short.
Yeah.
Oh. At least we don't get to call him none for that habit. Anyway, Chris, let me bring it over for you now. As we know full well...
Really come back?
You're welcome.
He came back with the worst pun that I came up with.
To follow that.
All right. For you guys in England, what body is it? Is it a governmental agency, a quasi-governmental that has anything to do with the expected ratings for? We'll stick with movies for the moment, because I mean there's a whole ton of other stuff.
I'm just checking them up now. The body's called the British Board of Film Classification. It's a non-governmental organisation founded by the film industry in 1912 and responsible for classification and censorship of films within the UK. So it's different from the MPAA, which is a sort of trade body basically for promoting the interests of the motion picture producers. They do the ratings for sort of film, video games, etc.
Funny enough, the video games were also something I was thinking about. And unfortunately, it's one of those moments I really wish I could just call up Jake for Wharton and just say, hey, you got 5 minutes? Okay. You know, because the Australians with video game and the rating system was just a whole big thing. Joseph, same for you. In France, for you guys, who is handling the ratings and what kind of thing do they have?
Yeah, well, living in France, that movie that came out recently, 50 Shades of Grey, well, 12-year-olds can see it here.
Wow.
Hold on a second. Considering that the source material is effectively Twilight fan fiction that's just been given a new paint job, somehow that doesn't totally surprise me, because...
Yeah, I've only heard about the book, so I don't know about the content of the movie. But I don't know who takes care of... I can look that up for you, but I don't know who really takes care of the movie censorship.
Okay. While you're doing that really quickly, something that was mentioned, that Joey just mentioned, for those of you that are not specifically familiar with the show, I had set it up intentionally so that every 10th episode, we cut loose and we don't self-censor ourselves. We try to keep it to effectively a PG-13-ish expectation, where basically meaning if you are under 13, you really should have somebody, you know, of an adult nature with you to discuss and make sure that you actually understand what's going on. Joey and Dallin would both understand this reference. My daughter, codenamed Tiny Tribble, has listened to some of the stuff that To the Ranting Griffin has put out since she was, you know, 6 or 7, so long as I explain, okay, this is what the guy is really talking about. And he's a comedian who can be very over the top. Give you an example. Okay, Dallin, go ahead. What is the name of one of the famous, fabulous DVDs that he's had out there? What was the name of it?
Oh, geez. I actually own a few of these. There's Apocalypse of Cute.
Hold that. Joey, you've got the other one. I know it.
Three Cheese Baby.
Thank you. The reference to, of course,
a Christian baby, though?
It doesn't really much matter. Really, sure at that does. Age, who can tell?
We are these horrible atheist people. We can only eat the blood of Christian babies.
Yes,
Jews. We eat babies in general.
Religious babies. Oh, okay. I got that.
Yeah, but
so
I like to eat barbecued babies. What's
on
your
a
problem?
Bagel.
Oh, nothing. Just saving money on stickers.
Oh, you know, I do have that Jewish background, so I have to have my baby cooked on a bagel.
We'll find the cream cheese for you. So, Joseph, how did you do? What did you find out?
Yeah,
you can't have cream cheese and baby. You can't mix meats and creams. It's not cooking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You'd hate those burgers I'm planning to make tomorrow.
Guys, it's early in the morning for him. He got up early special for us. He's got his coffee early. Not the minute talk.
Well, Commission de Classification Cinématographique.
Which is Greek to the rest of us, which loosely translates.
No, I understood that.
You know what? Screw you.
Bunch of uneducated heathens.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, c'est ce
que bon, ça suffit. Je vais faire le reste de l'émission en français. it's a branch of the Ministry of Culture. And it's a commission for film classification, I guess it'd be a rough translation.
Okay.
So it's a part of the government.
Okay, so in your particular case, it is actually a governmental body, or a subset of the governmental body, an actual official.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is in Canada as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool, but anyways. That should be one of the government's roles, no? That we should have access to.
Well, now see, that's where it gets to be interesting. For us on this side of the border, for the U.S., the MPAA's rating system is basically a film industry's agreed upon item that
it's a standard.
That's the problem.
Voters have access to it.
No, it's a standard that's been agreed upon by the film industry. Okay, it's not a government standard. It's a film industry standard. So it technically it is correct to call it a standard. It's just you have to remember whose standard it is.
Right. And it's agreed upon by the studios and the no, by the studios.
Movie theaters, rental stores.
Yeah. Well, actually hold on a second, because there's a piece of that that's not quite. And Chris, you were saying that for you guys, it's a non-governmental agency also.
I've actually just been doing some more check. Looks like it was founded as I'm not quite sure exactly what it is. But it looks like it may have started out as a non-governmental organization, and now it's like an independent organization. But it does have statutory responsibility for like rating like films and whatever. So it looks like it does have the legal responsibility and powers in that case. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't get exactly how you'd characterize the organization.
No worries. And yes, please, as a reminder, we are lay people. We don't know all the ins and outs of the law, not by a long shot. So again, these are our perspectives and our understandings of this stuff. The best is what we understand. And even though we are only, 7 people, as opposed to 7 billion people on the planet, plus, you know, we're not exactly a full representation of what should be or shouldn't be. We just each have our own individual perspectives on it. So if we're wrong on something, you know, it happens. It's happened before. We'll change our mind if things work this way. Now, the reason why I wanted to make the distinction of a governmental organization versus an agreement of a trade union, effectively. I may be using the wrong verbiage for this, so please forgive me. Here in the U.S. in particular, if you want your film to end up in theaters with the expected grading, which at this point would be, and some groups may not remember these in particular, but G, PG, PG-13, NC-17.
R.
You're right.
I got an R.
You're right, and R, and then NC-17, sorry. There have been a couple of changes to the setup in my lifetime, so things have gotten a little bit squirrely. I'll tell you why in a second. You need to go through the MPAA in order to have your film classified by them. And they have a group of people who look at a film, watch the film, and then decide what do they think it should be rated at. As far as to should it be available for general audiences, audiences with parental guidance required under 13, so there's a little bit of wiggle room, R, which would be restricted to you need to have a guardian with you, whereas PG-13
is kind 17.
Of 17, and then R, which is restricted, no one under, generally speaking, it might be 16, might be 18, I forget exactly which number it is, but if you are not of that particular cutoff, you ain't getting in, doesn't matter. Now, these have kind of morphed over into different areas. Dallin, as I recall, from seeing the Canadian TV shows, there are similar ratings for TV and movie. Yes?
Yeah, and while I'll admit it's been a while since I've actually watched so-called regular TV, actually now you do have a little ratings thing that pops up in the corner that will tell you what the rating for it is. It could be like C7, youth, mature, that kind of stuff. So it is getting more complicated these days in terms of even the TV shows now are having their own individual ratings. And yeah, it's, I'd almost say we're almost starting to micromanage it.
Yeah, to a certain degree, but and Heretic Woman, I want to hit you also because you're closer to Toronto and to, you know, your country's capital, and I bring this up for a reason.
Which is not Toronto, I just want to say.
That's right, that's right. I'm bringing this up for a reason. Toronto is one of the biggest cities in the country, and it's a gorgeous place. But you guys have also got a lot of the broadcasting facilities out of there.
Yes.
You end up with groups like This Hour Has 22 Minutes, which is a satirical outlook on the news. You've also got people like Rick Mercer, who is an incredibly wonderful, scathing commentary person on the news. Not too dissimilar from, the hell's...
John Stewart.
John Stewart, yeah, thank you, I couldn't remember his name, who is able to actually talk directly with the people on Capitol Hill for you guys.
Yes. Yes, quite amusingly.
Yeah.
Well,
yes, Alan?
Yeah, I can break in here on one thing, just give me a second here. You mentioned This Hour Has 22 Minutes, and it actually brought up one of the more famous episodes that I recall. And Rick Mercer actually got his start on that particular show before he split off and did his own thing.
Right.
And by the way, Shu, the ice cream is delicious, just so you know. we'll get into that later. But anyways, it was Rick Mercer and Greg Toomey, one of the other people on 22 Minutes. They used to have a bit called The Right Answer. And it was these two guys going back and forth, and they had one of those chess clocks in between them, you know, where you make a move, yeah. You slap the time down, that kind of thing. Now, I can't remember the entire content of what they were talking about. Give me a break. This was 10 years ago. But Rick Mercer said, well, maybe just me, but I would normally call that two balls and a dick. Bang! John Stewart is still bleeped on the Comedy Network, as I recall, and so is Stephen Colbert.
Was, yes.
Was. So, yeah, I'd say as far as, you know, certain pieces of censorship, maybe we're a little more liberal up here.
I think we are a tiny bit, yeah.
Then there's also, you know, Kids in the Hall, but that's another story entirely.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Guys. Love this guy.
So, Joseph, what I was just talking about with Rick Mercer being a person who can do political commentary and has very, very open access to the parliamentary folks in Canada, and, you know, you would remember a good portion of that, I'm sure. Is there anything quite like that where you guys have that kind of satirical look on the news and are have that kind of access to the government people, to the best of your knowledge? I know that, you know, local TV is a dying medium, really.
Kind of. I don't really see where that's going, but what do you mean access to the government?
Well, let me give you a perfect example. With John Stewart, he has people come into his studio and they talk, they do their interview. It's a whole comedic thing, and okay, you know what, people get invited and all right, whatever. Whereas for instance, with Rick Mercer and for a lot of the commentary guys up on that side, they will go with their camera crews, they will go with everybody and have very open access to the people in government. And, you know, it's not exactly adversarial, but they get the opportunity to be there, have fun at each other's expense. But there seems to be very little, we need to make an arrangement for you to come in to see us versus, you know what, we just happen to be in the neighborhood. We want to do some time with you and do stories. How's that?
Okay, yeah, it's pretty closed here, the government system. Access to the equivalent to the House of Parliament. Yeah, it's a lot of that doesn't happen here. No,
it's like who was the character on This Hour who dressed up like Lucy Lawless and then would go to Parliament in her?
It's so funny you say that because I was just queuing it up.
Oh my gosh, she's
give me
so
one second here.
Funny.
Yes, one of the commentary people did definitely not look like Lucy Lawless, did get into the whole thing. I know what you're talking about. I saw that for a while.
Yeah, it was Marg Delahunty. Yes. Unfortunately, my screen share is not working right now. But, she definitely should not have been wearing something like that. But she would dress up like Lucy Lawless from Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah,
and she would invade Parliament Hill, sword and everything, and she has gotten everybody.
Yep.
Like, we were talking to Jean Chrétien back in the day, Stephen Harper multiple times, a few of the anchors from CBC. The picture I pulled up, which unfortunately, like I said, my screen share is not working. Apparently, she went after Rob Ford.
Oh! Like, why? He did enough to himself.
Yeah, but you see... But here's the thing.
They made a song about it.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing, guys. Our members of government, at least, you know, the more prominent ones, they see these people coming, and they're like, well, you can do one of two things. You can either be a jerk and, you know, really mess with and, you know, really, you know, like, show them out and all that, or you can dive in and do a big PR thing and pull it off. And one prime example of this took place on Royal Canadian Air Force a few years back. We had two people done up as Pamela Wallen, who is a well-known TV anchor. Yeah, AirTech knows where I'm going with this one. Mm-hmm. And then we had another guy done up as Jean Chrétien. And the only reason he got away with it is because he does a really bad Quebecois accent. I mean, like, extremely bad.
Not very different from Jeff Christian himself.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. So they start their bit, and they're doing the thing back and forth. Well, all of a sudden, out of the right side frame comes Pamela Wallen herself. Taps Luba Goy on the shoulder, says, "Let me show you how to do this, sweetheart." Luba walks away, and Pamela is now interviewing the fake Jean Chrétien. And they go back and forth. I mean, and it's perfectly natural. Here's the kicker. About 2 minutes later, out of the left frame, the real Prime Minister of Canada, Jean Chrétien, taps the actor on the shoulder. "I will show you how to do this." Okay, that was, I'm not entirely sure if I was channeling Chrétien or Arnold Schwarzenegger at that point. I apologize. And then it just turned into like a 30-second interview between the two of them, and then that was the end of the bit. My point
being, I could see Bill Clinton doing something like that, you know?
Yes. But think of it this way, Tech. Office,
he got close to people. He had no problem talking to the average person, you know? I could see him having done something like that.
Yeah, but Tech, look when he was running. What's the most famous thing he did when he was running for president?
Played the saxophone?
On the Arsenio Hall show. He shows up in the band.
Yeah.
I remember that show.
I do, too.
Yep.
I was like, we're zany to the max while Bill Clinton plays the sax. Think about it.
Yeah.
Like that put him on the map. And then right after him, you get Bush, and suddenly it's, "You better watch what you say." Mm-hmm. What?
Yep. You guys are actually zeroing in on where I'm going to end up going with this and why I'm going to pull this all together in a second. Chris, I'm going to guess that the answer is, oh, absolutely not, hell no. Stuff like that doesn't happen over there at all, does it?
I'm going to have to bow out on this one, I think. I've watched virtually zero TV for about the last 8 years, maybe.
We are not amused.
Yes. So I'm not sure what the latest kind of thing on this is going to be in the UK. I really should get a TV again and check it out.
Nah, it's okay. You can just pull stuff up on whatever it is. And oh my God, Heretic Woman, you found her. Yes, there she is.
Thank you. I don't know why my screen share is not working.
Heretic Woman, can you zoom in on that? And I'm going to turn my camera off for a few minutes.
No. The first time you say, "I'll be in my bunk," you're gone. Don't even start.
I'm sorry.
Tech, this is not a power of 10. Hold it in for another couple of weeks there. Jeez.
Okay, so why am I talking through with the MPAA and how much access we've got to the government for these comedic pieces? Actually, there's a really good reason why I'm actually going to pull these two together. Because the MPAA, in particular, since that's where we started off with, is a group that doesn't have any official governmental power. They can't jail anybody. They can only make recommendations on what ratings some group should have, and those ratings go on their movies and then get plastered onto the movie theaters where everybody would see. Who has the actual talking position on these? The MPAA itself is a nameless, faceless organization for the most part. Yeah, you can find out who's actually, you know, part of the board of directors, but who's actually making the decisions on what to rate, you don't get to find that out.
Voters have no access to this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the movies, you get a rating from the MPAA, and it goes on your movie, and it helps to determine who's going to see it. Thereby, if they say there's too much blood, i.e. one of the Godfather movies, you don't get all of the people that you want. Because if it's rated R versus you know, PG-13 because there's a certain level of blood involved, you're not going to get all the people that you want.
I'm going to give him a rating. He can't refuse.
Well,
he can't
actually dispute. Just follow me on this a second, because there actually is a tie-in. I promise you, I'm getting to it. In the 70s, there were a couple of movies that I vaguely remember that were originally released that came out with an R rating, restricted, which meant that only adults were allowed to see it, and then was re-edited not very long after to come into a PG rating at the time. PG-13 did not exist, so PG allowed teens and pretty much anybody to go in to see it. And when it was re-released as a PG instead of an R, another wave of people were able to come in to see it, another wave of box office sales, another wave of more money coming in for the studio. I'm specifically thinking of Saturday Night Fever. Originally released as an R, got recut, came in as a PG, and generally speaking, that's the version that most people remember at this point.
Yeah.
Another example was one of the Star Trek movies. It was the... I'm trying to remember which one it was. I believe it was the fifth? No,
Voyage Home?
It wasn't the Voyage Home. It was after that. They got...
was it the whales?
The Chancellor come on board... From
the Undiscovered Country.
Undiscovered Country.
Okay, thank you. It's been so long.
Yeah.
It was going to get an R rating because somebody, a Klingon got shot in zero G, and then there were going to be blobs of red blood floating in zero G.
So they made it pink. Okay.
They made it pink, gave it a PG rating, which then allowed pretty much everybody to go and see it.
That's so stupid.
Well,
I'm
okay.
Sorry, but it's blood is blood. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Not if you're a Vulcan. If you're a Vulcan, it's blue.
It's green. No, it's green.
But that being said, think of Kill Bill. You know the fight scene against the crazy 88s?
Yeah.
The big fight scene? The reason it was done in black and white was the same reason for the pink blood. They were trying to keep the rating to a certain level so that they could profit from it.
Okay, now, here's where the tie-in comes in, why I wanted to talk about the government having that kind of ability to mock and play around with the government people versus the MPAA. Nobody knows who is actually on the sitting down, I'm going to watch and I'm going to rate and tell you what I think it is group. It's what would otherwise be considered a double-blinded group. You don't know who it is. They don't know who everybody else is. They just get the information, they bring it back, and they tally all the information, and boom, done. We have no idea if they have any kind of an agenda, and unfortunately, because Hollywood, USA, is one of the biggest organizations for outputting movies, they put their stamp on it. Generally speaking, it gets rubber stamped all over the rest of the world. And that really determines who's got the ability of seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, the tie-in with the government and having access to be able to talk with these guys is exactly that. You've got the ability of going at Rick Mercer. Lovely, amazingly smart individual. Has got the ability to go up there to the Capitol and walk through the Parliament building and get all chummy-chummy with his audio and video guys and put his arm around the Prime Minister and say, you know, you're being a real screw. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to get arrested. He's not going to get thrown into the back of a black van and scurried off to Egypt somewhere. Mm-hmm. He's going to get great film. He's got the access. And by that extension, this citizenry that is able to see that video also, in their own way, have access to that. The censorship that I'm talking about in this particular case is how transparent are you able to be?
Mm-hmm.
How much are you able to talk to and get information back from whatever organization has power, whether it's governmental or this quasi-governmental group like the MPAA here in the U.S., or the semi-governmental agencies that you guys have got over there in Europe. It's a pain in the ass to really deal with because you don't know what you don't know. And like I said, it's kind of a double-blinded thing here for the MPAA. Normally in science, that's a good thing. I don't know that that's necessarily always a good thing in this particular situation, though.
I'd be
careful with that term, double-blinded, though. I don't think that really applies to...
No, but I think what Shujin's talking about is that, he said it before, basically it's a faceless institution.
Mm.
The MPAA, if I remember correctly, is, like you said, it's an industry regulating, it's an industry-based regulation committee that regulates itself. Therefore, it is accountable to no one on the general public.
Yeah.
It's only accountable to themselves. Therefore, their interpretation of what a movie's rating is based on a closed system, like their own enclosed system. They are accountable to no one except themselves. There is no external input from the people. There's no democratic process that says, we don't like the way the MPAA is going, therefore we're going to vote certain key members out. It doesn't work like that. And kind of in a way, I'm glad for that. Let me finish. The reason I say that is because if you did open that particular group up to the transparency of, let's face it, the American public, think how fast Hollywood would change, would have to change so many of their movie contents. And think about some of the lobbyists that you've currently got in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak mostly of religious, pro-white, pro-heterosexual. A lot of the sort of groundbreaking stuff that we're seeing in Hollywood right now would be wiped out. It would be gone. Because now suddenly Hollywood has to answer to the people, not just their own wallets. You see where I'm going with it? I'm a little tinfoil hatty on this, but it just kind of popped into my head.
Because if you look at what happened with Indiana, right, with their SB 101 bill, the business owners are now able to religiously discriminate. And I think I've got this picture showing up on my screen now, people can see. And what's going to happen is you see businesses pulling out. You see a ton of negative reaction. But those are the ones who are able to do so. And like Dallin's saying, if the MPAA was a government entity that had to respond to the public voters, and they had their jobs were dependent upon people voting for them, the religious fundamentalists are very good. Well, most religious organizations are very good at getting people together and getting them out they'll bus people out to the polls in a heartbeat, and they would get them voted out. And suddenly, it's movies like The Life of Brian suddenly becomes an NC-17 movie because it has a naked woman in it, period.
Well, it had to be screams as well.
Blasphemy.
it did have a penis.
Yep. All right. Now there's a piece about this that I wanted to cross over and hit, since we were talking about the movie industry and censorship. And This is a piece where I was saying before, I didn't want to cross over and weave the streams together, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do it. Would you folks, and you guys who are playing at home, feel free to go ahead and join us on this one. I didn't set this up with anybody, but it just kind of occurred to me. Would you all please take a look at the IMDb listing for the 1979 movie Superman with Christopher Reeve? And please tell me what rating it currently has. Anybody feel free to just follow that up as quick as you find it. I know it's dead air, but there's a reason for it.
That's the original Superman?
Yes, the original 78. 78, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's rated PG currently.
Yep.
Okay. So, here is my question for all of you on the panel, and all of you who are playing at home, I want you to think about this one a second.
Hey, Ms. Christopher Reeves.
What rating would you give a movie that had a full male frontal nude shot of a prepubescent boy? There is my question for you. Who would like to go ahead and, I was going to say tap on this one, but no, that's the wrong name for it. Who wants to go ahead and throw out what they think should be on something like
that? I hate to use this particular argument for this because I'm going to come off sounding like an apologist. And for that, I do apologize. Yes,
Canadian,
I'm choking on the irony, all right?
And you're Canadian.
You're Canadian. Apologies already.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All I see, the way I look at it is, the original Superman 1978 had that. But I want to say there's an element of context here. And I know that's a terrible word, especially when we're talking about, especially since how we've seen that word used in so many different arguments. But contextually speaking, this, like, it was not portrayed in a sexual way. It was not portrayed in any way that suggests that, you know, something bad is going to happen or something uncomfortable is going to happen. So, to me, the PG rating for the first Superman movie, yeah, I can kind of see it. Actually, let me one second here.
How about this? I'm a father with a boy.
Mm-hmm.
My son is 9 years old. And when I first saw that movie in my young adult life, it didn't bother me. And because, like Don said, it was basically all about context. You have an alien who happens to look like us, very much like us, who has just crash-landed on our planet and gotten out of his pod, and the parents didn't wrap the child in any clothes. The child is superhuman, powered by our sun, and therefore things like cold don't affect them. So getting out of that pod, heat, cold, it'd be as if we went outside and it was body temperature. We would be completely comfortable without any clothes on, minus, you know, sans all the societal taboos. Assuming nobody's around, you know, you can't be seen. You get all rid of those taboos out of your head. If it's body temperature outside and you walk outside and you have no clothes on, your body's not going to react poorly to that. So this is what's going on in this kind of a scenario.
Okay.
And once again, it is a context. It is context in this
respect. Let me throw this one at you.
Well, hold on. Chris wanted to get in. Go ahead.
If I may play devil's advocate there, Tech, had all of that been established in that film by that point?
No, it's not established because of the simple reason being is that when the movie makers made it, they already knew the history of Superman. They already understood Superman. So what they did is they went into making the movie with assumptions, and that was
the mistake. Yeah. I know the character was already a pre-established character. So. Well,
yeah.
And Superman was really well known. I mean,
but coming to someone like me, I've never ever read comic books. I know who Superman is just because he's very well known everywhere. But like what you said, Dallin said, powered by the sun. I'd never heard that before. I didn't know that he couldn't feel cold and all of that other stuff because I'd never read Superman. I don't know any of that stuff.
I can feel it. It just doesn't affect him.
Yeah.
I know.
His cells absorb sunlight energy. Yellow.
But like I'm saying, is all I know about Superman is that he's really strong, he can fly, and can't see through lead or some shit. Like that whole would be naked would not make any sense to me.
Yeah, let me throw another little piece out here for you from IMDb. Sure. Man of Steel came out 2 years ago. It's the reboot of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That also has a picture of, okay, not prepubescent, but a baby.
Yeah.
Completely naked and covered in birth, as Tuther Anton Griffin once said, still dripping birth sauce. But has a PG-13 rating, according to IMDb.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason it has a bit more, I would say a bit more of a rating is because, well, they did kind of blow up three quarters of a city, like two people blew it all up, and it was a neck snap and a couple of fatalities here and there. But same thing.
Yeah.
You've got something, you've got a scene, a very small scene of a completely naked child.
And once again, it boils down to, like you pointed out, context, but the other elephant in the room that nobody's brought up yet, which surprised me, is society's acceptance.
That was actually where I was going to be going.
Yeah. That's where I've been waiting to go. Yes. On this kind of thing, in sort of works of art, film, pictures, whatever, TV, whatever, I don't see why nudity itself, sort of non-sexual nudity, should really be a ratings issue if it is in a in the correct context, or it's like incidental.
Hit the nail on the head right there, Chris.
Yeah.
You say non-sexual nudity. Unfortunately, with religious society these days, if it's nudity, it's sexual, and if it's sexual, it's bad. You know, therefore, yeah.
Yep.
And children already know what at least one human body looks like. Everyone's got one. It's normal. And if it's not portrayed in any kind of sexual context or gratuitously, if it fits into the context of the work, then I don't really see why it should be a ratings issue. I think the young children are not even going to notice on there. And they're going to be waiting for the bit where Superman breaks out his X-ray eyes or laser eyes or whatever later on in the film. On that, I think the concern is more really from parents and, as you say, people of a puritanical bent.
Well, and then there's the issue of parents who don't want to take responsibility for having to explain these things for their children. They would rather just avoid the issue by not allowing their children to see anything that they might have to explain. And that's a problem, and I don't think they should be allowed that.
Billy, stop playing with yourself. Yeah. You're going to go blind.
And I don't even think that there would be anything to explain. I mean, going back in history, there was does anyone remember the film Zulu?
Heard of it, never saw it.
I'm in Darren's boat. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat.
Great film. And this was going back in history. There was quite a sort of a racist attitude with nudity in film and whatever. And it was okay to show, like, you know, people from different ethnic origins naked. On there, and you get that in documentaries.
Until
fairly recently. But if you show a Western person, like a woman topless or whatever, that suddenly becomes an issue.
I know. It's like...
Is this on the societal acceptance because it may be something, that's normal in the society that's portrayed? Even if it's not normal in the viewing, society viewing it. But if you see a member of your own society in that position, it's suddenly a problem.
And don't forget, here in the States, the original people who settled here, and I'm not talking about Native Americans or any of that, I'm talking about what we have in our history books as coming over from the other side of the pond, were mostly Puritans, and that kind of mentality stuck as they settled.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot so. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I wanted to end up hitting on at this point. Joey, I'm going to give you your opportunity to cut loose. Right now, you've been talking like you've been living inside of a world made of cardboard. So now we get a grand opportunity to find out just how powerful your words really are. Yes, some people actually know what I'm ripping that off from, and you know what? Good on you, because that wraps up with Superman. We'll talk about that later. Joey, what are the famous seven lines that Mr. Carlin has said would never see the light of day, and what was the context? It was 1973. I think it was.
One second. I'll get you that exact information just so that we have reference.
Get that in just a second.
Don't forget, boys and girls, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Yep.
Seven dirty words.
1972.
Yes.
It was probably 73 when it got into a big tizzy over. But anyway.
Canadian get it first. Damn, it must be those lack of bandwidth caps up there.
No. Canadian is drinking coffee, is caffeinated, moves faster. Okay, so. Oh, and before Joey gets into it, screw you, Manning.
Joey, elucidate, would you please?
Well...
Plan comes together.
I believe what you're looking
I'm sorry.
For.
I'm
I believe
sorry.
What you're. Go ahead.
As fair warning, normally we would not do this, but if you have a problem with the following list, fast forward by 15 seconds.
Okay.
Or don't pause forward by 15 seconds. It might do you good if you have a problem with it.
First,
here's the thing. He's quoting.
Do it.
No. No. Okay. For the general public, bleep, 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 bleep sucker, mother bleep, bleep. Now for everybody else, it's time to get the kids out of the room, folks. Shit, piss, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
Now, Mr. Carlin basically said that these seven combinations of syllables were never going to see the light of day in the U.S. on TV, was it, he said?
Yes.
On television.
Yes.
Okay.
It is directly titled Seven Words You Can Never Say on Television.
Yeah.
Now, afterwards, he'd since amended it to add a couple of more things, but neither here nor there for the moment. But here's the thing. Chris has the expression shit ever shown up in popular media for you guys in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah. Swearing on TV and films might be a ratings issue, but it's certainly not censored. There is something here known as a 9 p.m. watershed for broadcast TV, so swearing is heavily limited before then. But after 9 p.m., fine, and they're welcome to swear on TV.
When does it start going back into effect? Is it like 9 p.m. to 2 a.m.?
9 p.m. to 5 in the morning, I think. It's basically the time when little kiddies are likely to...
And Joseph, not going with the television aspect, of course, but how about for print media?
Actually, I did want to say something about television because you actually can swear on television here because people say mailed all the time. I mean, it's just like a common word.
But do they say tabernacle? I don't think they do.
That's more of a Quebec thing, isn't it?
Say hangout.
That's a Quebec thing, I know.
Okay.
We never listen to what they say anyway.
For those of us that don't speak French, what is the closest English analog for that?
Merde? That's shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next. Batte faire foutre means basically fuck you. Oh, sorry.
You want to have another go at it?
It's in context.
This is an educational program, people. So yes. We're not using it in negative context. It's all about context.
Speaking of which, Joey, give us yours.
Now, what I would like to point out is that Carlin's Seven Dirty Words was actually an homage to another comedian by the name of Lenny Bruce.
Yes.
Who, in 1966...
Oh, wow.
In 1966, he was arrested for his act, 9 words, and in alphabetical they are, ass balls, cocksucker, cunt, fuck, motherfucker, piss, shit, and tits.
Now, Lenny Bruce, who died also way too young, was a brilliant commentary artist in the day here in the U.S. He was arrested for basically saying things that pissed off the local rabble. I guess the only way to really put it, because people were yelling and screaming for him. As soon as he gets up on stage, arrest him for, you know what? We'll come up with something.
Yeah.
Because words. And that's what it came down to. The context of the day makes a huge difference as to what's going on. And by the way, I almost forgot. Heretic Woman, on for you guys at night, you've also got differences in what's allowed to be said on TV.
Yes. Broadcast. Well, and more than that, when I had cable, there was, and I can't remember what station it was. Oh, I think it was the Telelatino channel. So it was like mainly Spanish and Italian and European style programming. They had softcore porn on over after 11.
Dallin, you got nothing to follow that up with?
Really? Well, actually, as soon as I started looking for the whole thing about Carlin, it took me to a Wikipedia page, and there's a very interesting nugget at the end of the whole thing about the 7 words, and because again I don't have cable right now, I wanted to put it out there to specifically the North American contingent of our little group here. Has the language been getting, like on mainstream TV, has it been getting, for lack of a better term, a little more vulgar as of late?
Yes.
Like, it's getting a lot looser with the words?
Yes. I've noticed with the news specifically that newscasters get away with saying shit a lot more often than they used to.
You might find this interesting. Apparently, the FCC, they never maintained a specific hit list of words that were deemed unfit.
Right.
But they said they had their own internal guidelines, a la MPAA.
Yeah.
However, the FCC regulations regarding so-called fleeting use of expletives were ruled unconstitutionally vague by a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals, ooh, July 13, 2010, as they violated First Amendment. So the seven words you supposedly will never hear on TV, granted it's only been 5 years, give it some time. Pretty soon Carlin's reruns are going to be like on prime time, I think.
Nice.
Because they ain't got nothing else on that's worth watching.
Yeah, well, there is actually a thing. Something by the name of HR 3687.
Hmm.
Introduced December 8th, 2003. It essentially designates a list of words to be considered profane in U.S. code. The purpose of the bill being, quote, to amend section 1464 of Title 18 U.S. Code to provide for the punishment of certain profane broadcasts. In the text of the bill, the following eight words are specifically mentioned. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, asshole, and the phrases cocksucker, motherfucker, and asshole.
And
so there you go.
If you want another example of censorship with regards to the news, for example, when you watch American newscasts and it says live, you know, they're broadcasting live, they're not actually truly broadcasting live. There is a multi-second delay that allows the control room to either block a feed or block a word, buzz it out, that sort of things. And we actually have the news channels when it looks like somebody is going to kill themselves, suicide, or even a murder in some cases, they will actually cut the feed. They'll switch it to the newsroom, they'll switch it to a test panel, whatever the case might be, whatever their backup plan is for that. They will actually get off of that because censorship, much more so than words. You'll hear more words slip through on the news than you'll see of people killing themselves. And there was one politician who ended up killing himself on television.
The
reason why it got here in the States, anyway.
Yeah, I
know
that. Anybody who looks up on YouTube will actually be able to find it. And the reason why they didn't cut out is because, well, they didn't really have that kind of a policy set into play yet at the news level. And they weren't expecting it in the first place.
Yeah.
And then there was one recently in the last 5 years where a guy had gotten gunned down by the police because he was shooting back at him. And the news chopper had zoomed in enough that you could tell that he had gotten killed. And the newscaster's like, okay, cut it. And they didn't get it in time. And so he ended up issuing a formal apology to all the people watching, saying that we were supposed to cut away, we weren't supposed to broadcast that, we apologize, you know, the whole nine yards.
They want to at least give people a warning that there's going to be something, you know, so they can turn away.
Yeah.
Sadly.
This is actually something I wanted to cover in sort of news reports. Censorship of graphic images. We're all seeing, like, you know, reports of various atrocities in the world, where, you know, people have published videos of chopping people's heads off or hanging people or whatever. What's your take on the fact that these images? It may be self-censorship by the mediaship, but they are generally sort of censored or edited. Do you think that's the valid thing to do, or do you think those should be shown in full?
Well, let the other group go, because I'll finish on that one.
Fair enough. That is a really difficult one, and that is something that, as host, I was actually going to get very close in on to. And I'm going to dovetail onto yours and put them both for everybody. That exact kind of thing. And I'd also like everybody to also consider January 28th, 1986, when we lost the Space Shuttle Orbiter Challenger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a horrific moment that the governmental, the quasi-governmental, governmental agency, NASA, could have, and some people say should have, cut away from the aftermath. I don't have any other word for it. It played freaking constantly for days afterwards, over and over and over, and hammered it home. Those of us that lived through it know full well how horrific it was, how heartrending it was. These images that Chris is mentioning, especially in the war-torn areas of the Middle East with sectarian violence now, and, I mean, it goes back, I mean, decades for that kind of thing, where you had the Vietnam War was mentioned earlier. You've got the Hutsis and Tutus in Africa that were hacking each other. I may be mispronouncing it and forgetting the names right. But there have been these kinds of things. Ruby.
And more recently, you've got the falling man at the World Trade Center.
Yeah,
exactly.
Guys jumping, which was shown for the base ever. Kind of thing.
Ever. So the question is, and I want everybody who's watching to understand, through this whole thing, we've been talking about non-governmental censorship, and we know that. We know that full well. That's just the way that this one played out. We will end up getting to specifically governmental censorship on another one. That's just the way this one turned out. So, I guess, as our last pieces, this one's a heavy, and I know full well, if you guys don't want to touch it, that's completely and totally understandable on my part for you guys. So who feels comfortable and confident enough to go ahead and take this one? Because you know full well I've got a clean up on the whole damn thing as usual.
Well,
I'll take a shot at it.
I think that it... You going to go down?
You for, ladies first.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think that is legitimate news, and I think that those things should be made available, but in a manner so that people can choose to see it. But I think it should be available, because especially with things like ISIS and that, I think people need to really see full on just how horrible that stuff is. But on the flip side, I don't think that it should be something that they risk someone actually being traumatized or a child seeing something like that. So I'm thinking that it's more something that should maybe be routed to a website with an age wall on it. So if you're broadcasting the news, you know, nowadays you could say, we have footage of this occurring. If you'd like to see this footage, please go to this website and make sure that you're able to verify your age or something like that. But I do think it is legitimately important to make that information available, because I think people do need to see in some respects how awful those kinds of things can be.
Yeah, I've recently seen video footage of stonings and things, and it's until you actually see it, you don't appreciate how horrific some of these things are. I mean, there is an argument for respect for people's like family and friends, so it's not something that you want to be plastering everywhere for days, because obviously you don't... for anyone that's connected with someone who's died horribly, and you don't want to do it gratuitously. But I think, as Terrific Woman says there, it is legitimate, and you can and it's sometimes the only way of getting the full impact of what's happening out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's some of these, the most important aspect of these videos I'd like people to see is what happens with mob mentality.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the most shocking part for me, is the fact that there's so many people around watching it and actually participating.
And when I was talking to Ali Rizvi on my show, he grew up in Saudi Arabia, and he talked about when he was there in the areas where they had punishment. One of the things that he said that we don't really appreciate here in the West is how people get excited about it and congregated there. And in the footage that you see of Raif Badawi's flogging, you do get a sense of that. And he said that that's something that more people kind of need to see and understand, is just the sort of that kind of mob mentality that does go about. When you say that, that sprung to mind.
You get the impression that this is a real part of the community.
It's the culture, yeah.
And the culture, I've seen like stonings where like there's a whole town, like, you know, basically, you know, ripping people to shreds, and it's absolutely horrific and sick. But I'd say it definitely has an impact on what is actually going on, and what these events actually entail.
Dallin?
Challenger disaster. Columbia breaking apart and shooting over the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The LA riots. Mm-hmm. 9/11. Earthquakes in San Francisco. This is all stuff I've seen on the news growing up.
Mm.
The one that always got me, in like, yes, I've seen a lot on the news. I've seen a lot of things, but the one that really stuck with me was, I believe his name is Reginald Denny, who took a cinder block to the head during the LA riots for no reason other than being white.
Yeah.
The same footage and footage like it, it did have a silver lining. In a news interview after the riots had calmed down, two of the largest and most violent gangs in Los Angeles, the Crips and the Bloods, congregated together on an interview and said, "We have finally realized how ugly this violence crap is."
Mm-hmm.
It jarred the most jaded, hard people in the criminal underworld in Los Angeles. Whether or not it was lasting, I don't know. But the fact is that seeing the ugliness out on the airwaves like that, it did something. It had an effect.
Yeah.
So, and they say, okay, we can't show this. Like, we can't show this stoning. We can't show this guy getting shot. Yet for 3 weeks, and even unto this day, I still see footage of 9/11 on TV. Now it's being used in freaking TV shows.
Yeah.
I actually saw a sci-fi show where the Challenger blowing up was used as a backdrop for a missile being deactivated. So, like, don't tell me that, you know, you're censoring for the good. I'm of half a mind to agree with Heretic Woman about maybe putting the more graphic stuff behind a certain age wall, but at the same time, I think enough of it has to be made front-facing for all ages, from all walks of life, so that we can hold it up to our next generation and say, hey, look, this is how ugly the world is right now, and it is up to you to make a better one. And I think being sheltered from the true ugliness of what's going on out there right now is going to do nothing more than continuously perpetrate the same kind of ugliness that we've been seeing for the past several decades. The next generation has to know what's wrong and has to see what's wrong before they can get it in their head that it's time for change.
And the reason for that wrong has to be rational, because I think a lot of our censorship today is more technocratical than it is rational.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, if you see it, like you see the mob mentality, you see somebody getting stoned, you know, you get enough kids going around saying, wait a minute, that's not right. then that sticks with them so that when they're finally in a position that they can effect changes like that, they can start influencing that kind of change.
We can hope. Joey, I know that your perspective is always an interesting one, to put it mildly, on these kinds of things. What would you like to go ahead and close with?
Well, I don't want to sound like a broken record, because most of what has been said thus far on this closing matter, I agree with. So, as to what I would like to close with, I would just like to say that the idea of... I'm getting background backfeed from somebody. The idea of the whole, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that, just really needs to go out the window, because, yes, there are moments where certain words and certain expressions are less than kosher. However, there are times they are needed to properly convey the message that is being, that one is trying to get across. To say that foul language has no place in conversation, just to prove my point, is bullshit. Because a word is more than just its definition. Its connotation and its emotional connection are just as important in communication as what the word is defined at.
And again, if you can explain it rationally, like, for example, swear words, most of our epithets, they register as a grunt in the human brain. I mean, the word is devoid of meaning. It's just an expression. And if you explain to a kid that swearing is low, it's not etiquette. Normally we don't. It's a low means of communication, so avoid it if possible. If you can explain that to them, I'm sure they can understand.
Fair enough.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. Yes, Chris.
One thing, this is an angle that we've not touched on today, but might be interesting to do in the future. One of the things that gets me is that while people are, you know, not meant to use certain words or show certain parts of the human body in film and TV, people are able to make outrageously false and offensive claims and say all kinds of horrible things pretty much freely. And many of these things they're saying do far more damage than a shot of someone's butt will ever do. And so maybe that's the kind of speech or whatever that should be looked at more closely than someone saying fuck.
Let's see about that. Tech, you requested to do almost clean up at this point, so where would you like to close up with?
When I was in my early 20s and the internet wasn't as advanced in terms of compression rates and everything else, I still managed to find a video on the internet, and it was entitled "Soldier is Decapitated." There's many of those out there nowadays. The news definitely points out that, you know, ISIS or the Taliban or so-and-so showed a video of, you know, such and such soldier from such and such country was getting stoned or burned alive or decapitated. And we're not going to play that because it's graphic and you don't need to see it. Well, I disagree. like I agree with Heretic in this respect, is that instead it should be, listen, we have a special wall website set up for this. If you really do want to see it, please make sure that there are no children or people who are sensitive to this kind of graphic violence in the room. If you have not seen these images before, you may need to seek assistance afterwards, professional help, because of its very nature. And I would definitely, and I would stress that very, very much about the possibility of professional help after seeing something like that. Because despite being an adult, despite having knowledge, book knowledge, of the atrocities committed in the name of whatever throughout the history of mankind, okay? Forget country, forget religion, as a whole. Nothing prepares you to see a man being held down against his will, and another man slowly approaches him. Now, mind you, there's another part. There are several parties involved here. The man holding the guy down, the one holding the camera, the one holding the knife, and then seeing that knife plunge sideways through the neck, hearing in full detail the sound that is being gurgling through the pierced throat and the destroyed voice box and the mouth of the man who is being killed, and then watching as the soldier slowly saws the knife outward. This was not a quick beheading by a guillotine. This was a slow, methodical murder. And when I saw that, and I can still, to this day, see it from start to finish in my brain, something in you changes. You see that, and you go, oh my, this is wrong. This is very wrong. This should not be happening. This should not happen. Why are they doing this? What has this man done that is so, so horrible to be put through such a horrendous death? And granted, there are many forms of torture out there that could possibly be worse. But it's something that if somebody told me, listen, you need to show this video to your son, you have no choice in the matter. The only choice you have is to show it to him, choose what age he sees it. There's no way I would show it to him before he was an adult. So that whole concept of a wall, like Heretic was talking about, I heartily agree with. But at the same time, I am tempted when my son gets older to show him that video, because it can still be found, and many like it, that how atrocious we human beings can be to each other, just how violent and nasty and horrible we can be, and how much we censor the world around us, our actions, our words, our own entertainment forms, even our own sexuality, which is nothing to be ashamed of. And that censorship incurs on a huge scale, and for many, many reasons.
There is, I think you touched on it there. There is the old expression of that everyone wears sort of rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
And there is a sort of mental censorship of the world that goes on inside everyone's head to some extent. And as Tech was touching on there, things like that, images like that, I can sort of break through that, and it is a fairly distressing process.
Yeah, that video shook me. It can be worthwhile. Yeah. That video shook me at the core, because I've heard through my mother, who her mother was a sergeant in the Army Air Corps during World War II. Rest in peace. And she heard from her mother the atrocious things that were done during the war, that, you know, what the men who came back, who were in the hospitals, what they looked like, you know, the missing limbs, the deformities from the explosions and everything else. When I saw that video, those stories that I heard gained clarity. They gained realism. They weren't just history or stories. They gained a level of reality that had not existed before that video. And I'm willing to bet Joey, or Joseph C., understands what I'm talking about. You know, as soon as you see something like that, everything else changes.
Yeah, you've got a point there, because, you know, just that people understand that all this shit is real. Because, you know, if you hear stories on the news about this happening without seeing any graphical depictions or whatever, it's pretty easy to dismiss as just another story.
Yeah.
But when you see it, it's like it's engraved in the brain. You know it's possible.
That's exactly where I wanted to close this out with. You're leading me right into where I wanted to go. There are going to be people that are younger than us, in some cases far younger, especially depending as to how long these videos live on through. And as I've joked before, those of you from 3023, you know, thank you for watching. I'm going to list off a few names because they've been brought to my attention through this show. Robert Bud Dwyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Daniel.
Yes.
Francis R. Scobie. Michael J. Smith. Ronald McNair. Ellison Onizuka. Judith Resnick. Greg Jarvis. Krista McAuliffe. 3,000 nameless, otherwise faceless people who worked in New York City. Untold scores of people who were part of newsreels through who only knows how many war zones. Untold thousands of people caught on video that happened to have been on the news at some point or other. Does the news reporting agency have an obligation to show us what it is that's happening? Yes. Yes, they do. Because journalists, the news, they are in the moment historians. They have to tell us. They have to document. That's what they've committed themselves to doing, to letting us see in the here and now what is history being written. Because later, it's somebody else's job to figure out what it was, what the context was when all is said and done. Those are historians. But in the moment, in the now, do they have an obligation to record it all? Absolutely. Is it painful? Oh, God, yes. Is it necessary for us all to see it at the moment it happens? I don't know. I don't know what any of these people would suggest themselves. I don't know that I would necessarily want people to know exactly in the moment what was happening to me. Maybe having it recorded and saved for posterity later, maybe. But is it really that important for the nation to see Jack Ruby in the moment? Would it have been necessary for the nations of the world to see that poor young girl running away from napalm attacks in Vietnam? Was it really necessary to see a plume of red fire billowing out the side of a skyscraper? Yes and no. There's too much to answer. There's too much to try and digest of it all. But there is a certain dignity in all humans, in all life as we know it. Does it take anything away by showing what happens to it? How it behaves? I don't know that any of us can really answer that. Certainly not us seven with any degree of certainty. We're not going to even pretend that we have the answer to it all. But I'm pretty sure on behalf of the entirety of the panel that we hope that there is certain dignity that is given to those people in those moments. And I don't know that any of us can really figure out in the moment what that point is. We have our own personal hopes that, for example, as was mentioned, the falling man in New York City, that he would be given some measure of dignity and respect, trying desperately to, with some last measure of hope, that maybe, just maybe, he'll survive out of something that was completely unthinkable. And then we have people that say it doesn't matter what he was trying to do. He was completely going against the doctrine of my group by killing himself knowingly. You would take away this person's last bit of dignity by saying he didn't agree with what you believe in. I can't think of too many things that are more callous than that. I'm going to use an expression that I wouldn't normally. Don't be that guy. There are certain dignities that we respect simply because we're societal. I think it's important to always keep that in mind, because the balancing act between what should be shown and what must be shown and what doesn't need to be at the moment, that's three juggling balls right there. They've all got their nuance. I can juggle, but you give me anything more than that, it don't work. As usual, we thank you for taking the time to stay with us and try to come to terms with a lot of these pieces. As usual, we end up with a lot to really digest, especially in the last minutes of the show. And we welcome your input and your commitment to giving us your perspective as well. As we said earlier, we are just lay people with our own perspectives. We don't pretend to have all the answers by a long shot, but we do still think that all of the perspectives that we have are worthwhile and worth trying to sort through on a lot of these things. As always, everyone, thank you very much for your time. Joseph, good morning, and thank you for joining us, of course, as always. You are muted out.
You're muted, Joe.
You've been playing with your mustache.
No. Sorry. Take care, guys. And thank you to thank you to you too.
Chris, also good morning and thank you for joining us. And by the way, for both of you, thank you for sticking it out with the time changes too.
Yeah, so I wish they wouldn't do that. But yeah, it's great to be here again. And thanks for having me here, Julian.
Appreciate it. Tech, thank you, of course, for your time. And thank you for the topic. This has got a lot to it. Thank you, man. And good morning.
No problem. I was happy to be here. And it's not really my topic. It's the topic of everybody, because it enters every aspect of our lives in every shape, way, and form that we can think of.
Well, the point being is that you brought it to the table, so thanks.
No problem.
Joey, thank you very much several times over, and good morning.
Yeah, it is morning, isn't it? I'm tired. And you know what's weird? I slept all through today, and this cold snap that we've had the past day has just killed me.
I hear you.
But anyway, it's been fun. Thanks for having me. I'll see you all next week. Well, I might see you all next week. Depends. Got a bit of a family outing, but we'll see.
See what happens. Heretic Woman, of course, good morning to you. And what is it, minus 10 over there right now?
Only wow. Minus 9. Only minus 9 from what I see, but, you know.
Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
That's Celsius. It's real numbers.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But that's okay. There's no new snow. And the pile in front of the house is only up to my shoulder now as opposed to, you know, up to my head. But, yeah. So, yeah, just plug my shows. Beyond the Trailer Park, of course. We are moving back to our Monday night slot. So Monday at 9:30 on my channel, Heretic Woman. Catch us there. And my Secular Savior, mysecularsavior.com. Check us out there. And I did want to say hello again to Tucker, who's the Trailer Park Atheist. And please give Fuzznut some scritches for me. He's quite the cute little kitty there. And thanks for hanging out with us, too. So
say hi to Pastor Roy for us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Pastor Roy is in Catfish Creek Trailer Park, though. I think that's not. I think Tucker is in a different one.
It's okay. And of course,
Park, you've seen them all.
Dallin, thank you very kindly. And it's still good night for you at this point, isn't it?
Actually, no. We are 10 minutes past. Good morning.
Oh,
it's 10 after midnight. Good morning. The past few days, just so you know, we've had plus 17, plus 19, plus 20. Right now, even though it's midnight, it's still plus 4. So
you can officially bite me, Dallin.
Anyways, it's good to be back. Sorry I was away so long. Lot of things. Hopefully that won't happen again. And yeah, it was great hanging out with everybody again. Thanks a lot.
So, Dallin, the proper response to Heretic's statement is where, when, and who's holding the camera?
You know, sadly, thing is, I can probably have an answer to that third question, but I'm not going any further with that for fear of, yeah.
That's great. And by the way,
censorship. There we go.
No. This has something to do with being able to, you know. Well, to uncensor myself, pee standing up. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And I'd like to be able to maintain that ability.
Yes. She's got the same temperature going on. Oh, Yellowknife. We're the same as Yellowknife. That's lovely.
Yes. Doesn't that just suck?
You know, Shuj, one of these days, I'm going to, like, buy you plane tickets so you can go up there for a couple of weeks.
I would freaking love the opportunity of going up over there.
I would like to point out... I would like to point out that in now less than 4 weeks, I will be in Hickory, North Carolina at ReasonCon, and the temperatures there recently have been in the 80s, so you all can bite me that week.
And I am so jealous that she's going to get the hobnob, yes, I said hobnob, with the cast of The Scathing Atheist.
I shall be doing that.
I have a bit of a green monster for that one as well. I'd love to meet those guys in person.
I'd love to meet them, and thank you for the picture of the man with the hamster going up the butt.
Yeah.
I will pass on all messages you wish to send. That's fine. And I do believe Tucker's going to be there too, so I'll be able to say hi to Tucker too.
Well, very cool. Tell Noah if he ever makes it up north my way, I got beers with his name on them.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to be absent that same weekend because I'm at QED over here in England.
That's right.
So it's ReasonCon. So I don't know. You might want to try out for new panelists that weekend, Eugene.
Sorry, we'll figure something out. Meantime, thank you guys. In all seriousness, thank you very, very kindly. We've had opportunities where the show has had far fewer guests and I will say it again unabashedly, I like having the full group because I love where all of the perspectives that we've got mesh and clash and come up with new things for us to talk through. And it's really, really helpful in a lot of different ways. And I will also make special reference over here for Tucker. Thank you very, very kindly. Your input has been greatly, greatly helpful for tonight, as you well saw. So thank you. Gene, did see you over there also. Thank you very kindly. And Beth, we did see you. I'm going to assume that you were probably just drinking really heavily, so you didn't type anything, but that's okay. So don't worry about that.
Probably fell asleep because she worked like a 10-hour shift today. So
that'll do it. And finally, as always, to all of you guys who are going to be going to ReasonCon. Now, wait a second. When was that again? Next week? Week after?
No. It's the 24th and 25th of April, so less than 4 weeks.
Okay, so we've still got a little bit more time on that. All of you who have been are planning on going, have yourselves a great time. I'm kind of sorry that I can't go, but at the same time, stupid enough, it's going to sound stupid for me to say it, but I don't think that I'm worthy. So
you are worthy, Gene.
We will see what happens in the future.
Miss Ashley will kick your you-know-what for saying that. I'll just tell you that right now.
she's welcome to try. As I understand it, she's going to need to wear at least 6-inch platforms to get even close to being able to do. So
are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on.
Somebody just declared war.
Pretty much. But in the meantime... thank you guys very much. If you would like to contact us, of course, and I do have all of the I got all this stuff over on here. You can't read that. That's okay. Oh, I've got two different pages printed off. I've got one that I've got all of the accounts, and then I've got another one that's got the account logins and passwords, so I don't freaking lose them because they were all generated three times over through a randomizer. Because I know way in hell that I'm going to be remembering these.
Show us those again.
Wait, did you show us all the passwords to your...
I showed them all to you.
Yeah.
My email password is 12345.
Amazing, I've got the same thing on my luggage.
But you know,
better get some new luggage.
Anyway, the
I just came up with a password.
I was going to say the password. The website, of course, which we Dell and I are going to see about getting finding a schedule so that we can start really banging out on this and getting it started, of course, is holycrapthevlogcast.com. If you'd like to drop an email over to us in general, you send it over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. Yes, there is going to be an audio podcast, a real feed, once we can get this all arranged properly. You can follow us on Twitter and YouTube. Sorry, let me back up a second. On Twitter, it's @holycrapTV. Find us over on YouTube, Google+, and Facebook @holycrapthevlogcast. And you can send email over to me directly @shujindribble@holycrapthevlogcast.com. I will be seeing about setting up all of you guys with your own email accounts as well, if you'd like them. It's no skin off of my teeth. I can just forward stuff or set up an actual for you, but we'll deal with that as we get further into getting the website actually arranged properly. If you'd like to drop a voicemail over to us, feel free, 859-HCTV-554, which is 859-4288-554, or if you just want to record yourself and send it in to me via email, that's cool too. I'd be more than happy to take that. We need to get this out. We need to get the hell out of here because it's running a little bit late, and truthfully, I'm tired. And that's a
long
lot
live
of stuff
the Opera browser.
And there's a lot to really think through on this that I really hadn't thought about before. So thank you. You guys give me a lot of perspective to think through. For all of you, of course, watching, thank you very kindly. Those of you who have been live, Especially, thank you. We did not break double digits yet, so we're going to keep working on that. Stephanie, that's your job. In the meantime, of course, as always, on behalf of the panel, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And, of course, for my lady, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. You dream of me. We'll talk to you guys, Agos, next week. And as a last parting message to Rafe and your family. As of the recording of this show, it has now been 2 years, 9 months, 12 days since Rafe was unjustly interred. We're waiting for you to come home. We'll be waiting for you, and you'll have a seat whenever you're ready. Good luck. Until next week, everyone. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.